We're holding on days on the days, tradition days on the days. We're holding seven lines from the bottom, line begins Nami. Eight lines, actually. Okay, we're in the middle of discussing, this piece of Gemara has been discussing, has been analyzing the wording of the Mishnah, Ha'isha Niknas V'Shalash Drachim, and analyzing word by word and phrase by phrase why it uses the Lashon that it does. I mentioned yesterday that a number of Rishonim mentioned that this piece of Gemara was actually added by the later Rabbanan Sevaroi, rather than by the original composers of Shas, Ravina, and Ravashi, and therefore it's a little bit unusual stylistically. The last thing we were discussing is why the Mishnah had used the word drachim. Ha'isha Niknas V'Shalash Drachim. Why not drachim? So we said because bia is called derech, and since one of the three methods of kedushin is bia, and ultimately all of them are meant to lead to bia, then therefore we said we use the word derech. The ibar sema, or another possibility, you could say hamani Reb Shimoni. You could say that our Mishnah, in the fact that it chooses the word derech for any kind of kedushin, any of the three kinds, is going according to Reb Shimon. The Tanya Reb Shimon Oimer, mipnei ma omer tere ki yikach ish isha v'leikasav ki tilokach isha leish. Why does the Torah say when a man takes a woman rather than when a woman is taken by a man? Meaning, why does it specifically associate it with the husband, with the ish? Because it's normal for a man to go about looking for his shidduch, for his basherta, for his wife, and not for a woman to go around looking for her husband. It's like a marshal of a person who lost an object. And Marsha points out every husband and wife. The husband did lose an object. The other person lost his rib, or the side, whatever it was, whatever the explanation, whatever the meaning of tzela is, the different possibilities, that was turned into chava. So therefore, every man is missing something. Mi chozer al mi, so when it went, who looks for what? Baal avedim, chazer al avedim, so the one who lost the object goes looking for his lost object. This actually, Rashi says, achas mitzaloisa. Hello. So therefore, it's the derech of a man to go out looking for a woman, and therefore our Mishnah uses v'shalosh drach rather than dvarim.
What about Hashavas Aveda?
What about it? I mean, Hashavas Aveda is...
She should look for a man to return what she took.
But she didn't take it. The Abishah took it and then fashioned it into her.
Okay.
Actually, I saw a fascinating idea that somebody said, I can't remember now who it was, that when you think about it, I mean, so if you lose something, afterwards, when you find it, you don't strike a kinyan on it. It's just yours all along. So why the cloud of a man have to be cutting a woman in the first place? Why do we need our Ishan Niknas V'Shalash Drachim? The answer is because the fact of the matter is your average person doesn't know when he finds a wife that she is, in fact, his other half, his basherta. Maybe, maybe not. That we learned back in Merd Kotten, for example, that there's a reason why Halacha says you can get engaged any time, even on Tisha B'Av, even on Chol HaMoed, whatever. Somebody might beat you to the punch.
Oh, so broke his lock and lock.
No, not a matter of brachas. Not a matter of brachas. We're not talking about as far as brachas. We're talking about why you need a kinyan. Because you can't be sure that this one who you found is the one who was meant to be yours to begin with. Therefore, you need to do a kinyan. And then what happens when you think about it? So let's continue. So he continues with the analogy to a kinyan then. So what happens if you lost something? So yes, if you find your actual object, then fine. You don't need to make a kinyan on it. What happens if you find something that somebody else lost? You do have to make a kinyan on it. Assuming that you don't know who it belongs to. You make a kinyan on it, and what happens? The other person has been miyash on it. The other person has been master it. Same thing over here. When a man comes and makes a kinyan on a woman, kesef shara bia, what happens is, she doesn't know either whether she was really meant to be his vasherta or not, but fine, she's master herself. She's willingly makna herself, she being the messiah, to him, in return for the kesef, for the shtar, or the bia, as the case may be, and therefore it all works out.
Hashem is telling us for.
Well, Hashem is mezavik zivugim, right, but you never know whether the one that you found is the one that Yiddish to plan for you. You know, we talked about back in Sota, we talked about the whole concept of zivug rishon, zivug sheni. On the face of it, zivug rishon means your first marriage, zivug sheni means your second one, but we said then, actually, that tapi kabbalah, not necessarily, sometimes it can be a person, the one who a person ends up actually marrying first is not really his, even though the Gemara implies over there that a zivug rishon is basherta, is 40 days beforehand, etc., lav dafka, sometimes it happens, the person doesn't have the chosen to find the right one the first time around the text, so, you know, some later time. Okay. Yeah, exactly. You know, it works. It works the other way around also. I know somebody who had to go through several husbands before she found. You know, yeah. Okay. So that's another reason then why the Mishnah uses the word drachim, the plural of derech, rather than dvarim. Next, v'hodetnan b'zayin drachim b'etin es hazav. In that case, let's go back to what we quoted yesterday, Mishnah from Zavim, that there's seven ways in which you check a zav to see whether there's any external factors that may have led to him being a zav. So yesterday, the Gemara had dealt with the question why it uses Shiva, Lashon Zachar, rather than Sheva, Lashon Nekeva, as compared to our Mishnah. Now we're focusing on why Dvarim, listen to Dvarim. Let it also say, B'Shiva Dvarim, B'Shiva Dvarim, why Dvarim? The answer is Hasam, Hakamash Malon, because the Mishnah, by the way, there, by using the word B'Shiva Dvarim, is telling us something incidental. What are the seven things? The seven things over there are, they include the Michael, the Mishka, that he ate too much, he drank too much, etc. So, the Darka, the Mechli Yisera, last 3 days of Ziva, it's the Derech, it's the way of too much eating to bring to Ziva. The Darka, the Mishka Yisera, last 3 days of Ziva, and similarly, it's the way of too much drinking to bring to Ziva. So by using the word Drachim, we're saying not just you have to check them out for you have to check out whether these factors exist, but you should know these factors can predispose a person to being a Zav. Next, v'hadetnan. What about another Mishnah that uses the word drachim? Esrog shovel. It's a derech, right? It's a derech of too much eating or too much drinking to make a person a zav, right? In other words, the point of it is, if a person wants to avoid being a zav, he should know. Okay, we're saying that the second time that we're talking about the second zivah doesn't make him technically a zav. But if you want to know how to avoid the situation, make sure not to overindulge in food and drink, for example. Yeah. Actually, the Mishnah over there, Rabbi Akiva, goes on to say that it doesn't matter if he ate or drank b'chlal, and afterwards he had zivah. The Chacham say to him, what are you talking about? And there's no such thing as a zav. He says, big deal, okay, so there's no such thing as a zav. And? Anyway. Okay. Next, v'hadetnan, what about another Mishnah that uses the word drachim? Esrog shavala ilim begimel drachim. The Mishnah starts off by saying that an esrog is like other trees in three ways, and as we're going to say in a second, v'layerech b'derech echad, it's similar to vegetables in one way. The difference is, esrogim, unlike most other trees that grow in Eretz Yisrael, they need, as the Gemara is going to say soon on Gimel Amud Aleph, they need water all year round. They have a different growth cycle than most trees in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, for most purposes, we consider them just like other trees. But for certain purposes, as we're going to say, we consider them like vegetables because vegetables are like that also. You have to water them all year round, and they don't necessarily have a specific season when you pick them. Similarly, esrogim, you can pick any time during the year. So shavala ilim gimel drachim. Again, listen to dvarim. Again, why not use the word dvarim over there? Now, what are the three things? Rashi over here says it means that it has the dinim of orla and the dinim of net and the dinim of netirvai, just like trees. And when it comes to shmita, where shmita applies equally to fruits and vegetables, it means that you go according to when the fruit started developing and not after when you pick it. Tosfos has a long discussion. So that's because in that sense it is a tree after all. So for those three purposes, Rashi says we consider it like a tree. Tosfos has a long discussion about the pros and cons of this Pirush, and Rashi himself elsewhere in Rosh Hashanah, where this is also brought in Rosh Hashanah, explains it a little differently. It doesn't mean that it has the dinim of Orla and Revai. It means that obviously it has Orla and Revai, it's just like any other tree in that sense. And actually, Tosfos says maybe it doesn't necessarily have Revai. Whether Revai applies to all trees or whether it only applies to grapevines is a machlokas, notably in Brachos, and it's mentioned in a few other places in Shas. So Rashi himself elsewhere explains that what it means is in three, for most dinim, we follow. For most dinim, we follow its chanota. For three dinim that apply to it, for orla, for maestrus, for orla, for trumas and maestrus, we go according to chanota. We go according to when the fruit blossoms. So listen to Vardim.
You saw that in...
We had it back in Rosh Hashanah. We have a long sugya. We had a long sugya over there about the dinim of Shemitah, and yeah, that came up there. Yeah. Okay. So listen to Vardim. So why doesn't instead the Mishnah use the word Vardim? The reason is Mishum Devein and Misti Sefer, because the Mishnah there continues, that the Esther is similar to vegetables in one way. So once you have to say one way, so already you mentioned the first three, you mentioned three ways as well. The question is Sefer Naminis Nidavar, fine. Now, what kind of an answer is that? So say that it's similar to trees in three Dvarim, and that it's similar to Yerokas in one Dvar. Well, why use the word Derech? The one way is that Meiser of a surrogate goes according to when it's picked rather than when most fruits, the time when the year that we assign them to as far as Meiser is when they reach one third of their growth. So you have apples or what have you, or grapes or whatever, if they start growing, let's say during the third year, which is the year of Meiser Ami, and they continue growing into the fourth year, which is the year of Maisa Sheni, if they grew one third of their growth in the third year, then Maisa Ani is what you take from them. If they only reach one third growth after the beginning of the fourth year, after Rosh Hashanah of the fourth year, then it's one or the other. As opposed to a Sroigim that you go according to when they're picked. So Sefer Nami Nisni Dover. So in the Sefer, why doesn't it also use the word Dover? It says, Hossam, Kamash Mullah, the Dauke, the Esrik, the Yerik. Because what the Mishnah wants to tell us is, what's the reason behind this din?
The Sefer,
when it says, B'derech Echad, which we're saying, because it says, Derech Echad, therefore that forced him to say, Shlosha Drachim, earlier in the Mishnah. The reason is, Kol Kamash Mullah, the Dauke, the Esrik, the Yerik. That the way of an Esrik, as far as its growth pattern, is similar to the way that vegetables grow. My yerek darkly gadol akamayim, just like vegetables grow on a lot of water, just rainwater is not enough for them. You need to water them artificially as well. And because of that, when it comes to taking meiser from them, you don't go according to when they grew one third of their growth or any such thing like that, because they're going to keep on growing basically as long as you water them. So therefore, you go according to when they're picked. So again, in the scenario that we were just mentioning, if you have a vegetable that started growing in the third year, grew into the fourth year, and you picked it in the fourth year, then it's Maisa Sheni. The same thing as Sroigim, need a lot of water, as opposed to most other fruits. They need artificial watering, and therefore the Shasta Kitasi Yisroi, therefore the Maisa of them grows according to when they're picked. The difference is that before when we asked about that in connection with the three ways of Kiddushin, fine, it didn't have to say Derech in connection with Bia either. Fine, you have Bia is called a Derech. Doesn't mean you have to use the word Derech for it. Here, necessarily, if we're saying the point is that the Derech of an Esther gets to grow a certain way, then of necessity, yeah, you have to use the word Derech. The other alternative would have been to use the word Dover, but the word Dover wouldn't teach us the reason behind the halacha. The reason why it's not just it so happens that asurigim are compared to vegetables in this one din, it's rather that it's the shteger, it's the normal growth pattern of an asurig to grow this way, and therefore the din applies that way. I forgot to mention, by the way, going back a few lines on the Dauke Shalish L'Chazer Acha'isha, I forgot to mention what the Alter Rebbe mentions about it in Tanya. It goes back to the Mizrach Magid, the deeper idea behind it. Ava Hashem is compared to a man. Zohar, it's an outgrowth of Chesed. The Alter Rebbe talks about it in Perek Mem Gimel of Tanya. Ava of Hashem is an outgrowth of Chesed. Zohar Hacha, as the pasuk says. Therefore, Zohar is associated with the idea of Chesed. Yiras Hashem is associated with a woman. Isha Yiras Hashem Hitisalo. Darke Shalish L'Chazer Acha Isha means once a person has developed Ava Hashem, then the Ish, then the Ava of the Eivishter comes and chases after that, and try and a person ends up developing. Having already developed Yira, then that leads that gives the person the ability to develop Ava.
Things just get the way around it.
Okay, so there's actually, I mean, the Alter Rebbe talks about over there at some length, there's Yira Tata and Yira Ilah, there's Ava Tata and Ava Ilah. It's kind of like a sandwich. You start off with Yira Tata, which brings you to Ava, which then brings you to a higher Ava, which then brings you to a higher Yira. We're talking about the beginning of things.
You think for a man it's more Gvura.
Each one, right? Men have their gvura aspect and their chesed aspect, so do women, right? But in general, we also usually associate men with chokhmah and women with bina. Chokhmah is also on the right side of things, and bina is on the left side. That's, you know, chet, where you have chokhmah chesed netzach is the right side, and then bina gvura hoyd is the left side, etc. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, returning to where we were. So that's why it has to use drachim in the Mishnah of Esrog. Okay. Next, v'hadatnan. What about another case? Another Mishnah also in Bikurim. Since the context is the Mishnah has talked over there about how Bikurim and Truma and Meiser, each one has certain similarities and differences from the other, so therefore the Mishnayos go over there into other things that have similarities and differences. The Esrog was one of them, and then the Mishnah goes on to another one. Koi. Or some people say Koi, some people say Kevi. Anyway. Kvi. That's what I meant. Koi or Kvi, yeah. Anyway. It's some kind of animal that it's a suffix, whether it's a chaya, whether it's a wild animal or a behemoth, a domestic animal. Yeah, we talked about it before, yeah. I don't remember where it came out. Possible. I don't remember. Anyway, what it is exactly, the Gemara in Chulin has a couple of possibilities. It might be the result of cross. It might be an animal that's produced by crossbreeding a goat with a gazelle or a deer, whatever, or it might be some independent species. Whatever it is, it's a suffix, whether it's a chaya or a behemoth. The Mishnah says, "Yesh v'drachim shav l'chaya." It has certain ways in which it's similar to a chaya. For example, Rashi says you have to cover the blood. You can't see that when you shest it. "Yesh v'drachim shav l'behema." There are ways in which it's similar to a behema. For example, the chaylev of it is also only the chaylev of a domestic animal is also not the chaylev of a wild animal. "Yesh v'drachim shav l'chaya v'l'behema." There's ways in which it's like both of them. For example, you have to shest it. And then there's ways in which it's like neither one. So Rashi gives one example that you can't crossbreed it with either one, with either a chaya or a behemah. Tosfos discusses what's the chiddush. Of course you can't crossbreed it with another species. So okay, Tosfos discusses according to the if you say that that it itself is a crossbreed of a goat and a gazelle, then you can ask the question: Does that mean that you have to look at the father's side of things or only at the mother's side? There's a whole Sugya and Chulin over there. It comes up in this connection. It kind of comes up in connection with Oseves Benoid. Well, that's not necessarily. The Gemara says that maybe you only have to look at the female side. Genetically, of course, it's half from one, half from the other. But halakhically, it may be considered that it only has a relation to the mother animal. Okay. Anyway, there's another example that's loy l'chayev loy l'behema. The Mishnah says over there, let's say, for example, a person gives away his mechasim, as a shidmara, whatever he says, I'm giving away my chayev and I'm giving away my behemoth, then the koi is not included in either one. It's not necessarily either a chayev or a behemoth.
So he's not giving away anything?
No, if he says I'm giving away everything, then fine, of course it's included. But if he says, let's say, you know, imagine he says, for example, I'm giving all my chayev to Reuven and all my behemoth to Shimon, neither one can lay claim to the koi.
So he's teaching this way.
Okay, anyway. So, Nisni Dvarim is over there. Why do you have to use the word Drachim? Use the word Dvarim. Because it's not a matter of, you can't say like in the case of the Esrog that it has certain ways in which it's biologically similar to a Chaya and others. All these are differences in Halacha, not in biology. The two of the Tanan, and another example, what about the Mishnah that we learned at the beginning of Gittin? Zu achas min adrochem sheshavu gittin nashim l'shchura avadim. This, the din about b'fana nechtam, if you bring a guest from Chutz La'aretz, is one of the ways in which gittim of women are similar to documents of freeing slaves. Again, nisni dvarim. Again, what do you need the word drachim? Use the word dvarim over there. Ella, no. Let's take apart everything we said up until now about the reason for dava versus derech. Kol hechabeka plugta, in any case where there is a plugta, I'll explain in a second, a plugta is tani drachim, then it says drachim, b'chol hechabeka plugta, any place where there is not a plugta, tani dvarim, and it says dvarim. What do we mean by plugta? Rashi says, for example, the examples that we had thus far, the case of the Esrog, for example, in three ways it's like this, in one way it's like that. That's the kind of thing where you use the word drachim. As opposed to, if you're just saying, for example, if you're just giving a list of things, you can use dvarim just as well. That's what we mean by plugta. Usually in Shas, the word plugta means machloikas.
Right.
And in fact, there is an explanation. The Rabbi Hananel explains it like that. He says that it means, and he says in all these Mishnayos where you have the word drachim, you have some kind of machloikas panoyim on the subject. In our Mishnah, you had about a machloikas about how much money you need, Mishnah Bisilo. In the case of a Zav, you have Rabbi Akiva arguing that it's not just over eating and drinking, it's any kind of eating and drinking, etc. in the case of Etzrug, as we're going to quote in a second, we have Rebbe Eliezer saying that an Etzrug is like all other trees in all ways. That's, according to him, that's what we mean by Pulta. And then the Ramban talks about another possibility that he says what Pulta means is basically where we're differentiating like only these and no others, sort of. Then we use the word drachim. As opposed to, so he says, actually, he ends up saying, actually, another one of the Rishonim, the Talmud of Ashba, I think it is, says, the fact is, even though the Gemara said Ella, we're not completely taking apart everything we said. There are certain, for example, in our Mishnah, we had a specific reason why we used the word drachim. Because Bia is a derech, and everything else is associated with Bia. Same thing with a couple of the other ones as well. In all the other cases, we may not be able to find a reason. In the case of Gittin Nashim and Shakur Abadim, for example, we may not be able to find a reason why he uses Joachim. Same thing, for example, with the Koi. So where we're able to find a reason, then good, we find a reason. Then we find a specific reason that applies there. Otherwise, we say this idea of a plugda, like we're trying to say only these things and no other. Or according to Rashi, that we're saying some like this and some like that, or whatever.
When you cannot.
When you can't. So for example, in our Mishnah, we don't need any of those reasons. In our Mishnah, the fact that Bia Ikra Derech is a good enough reason. Same thing with the Zav, for example. With the Zav, it's not, you have seven things. You're not saying it's some like this and some like that. But you're saying, so Rashi's definition of Plugda wouldn't really fit with it. But still, we found a reason there why he uses the word Jerochim, because Darsha, the Mayflow, the Mishnah, etc. So therefore, that's good enough. That still stands in the Maskara. Dekanami, in fact, we can prove that where there's no plugta, where there's no differentiation, then the Mishnah uses the word dover, Dekatani Sefer, because the Mishnah continues over there in the case of the Esrug. Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, Esrug Shavala Ilum, the called dover. He says that an Esrug is like trees in every way, in everything. And there, instead of using the word derek, like the Tanakhama did, he used the word dover. Why? Because he's not differentiating. He's not saying three of one and one of the other. He's saying all ways it's like this. Shema Amina, that proves it. That's the distinction between Derech and Dover. Next, the Gemara says, Minyana Dereshul Mo'otimai, what is the Mishnah had started off, Yishen Niknes V'sholosh Drachim, V'koda Asafim V'shtei Drachim. We can count ourselves. We can count the Kesef, Shtar, and Bia are three ways. We can count the Get and Mitzvah Bala one way. What if each one of these numbers come to exclude? What other ways might we think might have been valid?
Well, that's instead of saying Shlosh is a Shlosha. At that point, you could have why a number.
The Gemara is going through in order. First, we discuss the actual wording, and now we're discussing why the Mishnah had to use any number at all. Again, this is all from the Rabbanan Tzvaroi. This is all from after the times of the Gemara, so they're analyzing the wording of the Mishnah in more detail. Minyan of the Reisha, l'mo'uti chupa. The numbering at the beginning, the Shlosha Drachim, comes to tell us only those three as opposed to Chuppah. Now, we learned back in Ksuvus, we talked a lot about what the definition of Chuppah is. There's a few different definitions that the Rishonim give. Does it mean what we think of nowadays as the Chuppah, where they're standing under the Chuppah? Does it mean what we call nowadays the Yichud room? Or does it mean when they go to live together in the house? Whatever it is. Later on, we're going to have, and later on, not enough, hey, we're going to have a whole sugya about, as the Gemara is going to quote here briefly, that Rav Huna holds that chuppah is a fourth valid method of kedushin.
What is kedushin?
He holds that it's a valid method of kedushin.
It's not yichud.
The same way as bia is kedushin, right? He holds a chuppah, and Rashi gives the example over here. Let's say we're talking about a katana, where she can't, she doesn't have the ability to be mekadesh herself yet. So her father gives her over to the chuppah l'shem kedushin. Rav Huna would say that that's a valid kedushin, that's a valid method of kedushin. Or Mishnah by saying shloisha drachim is implying that not. Which, okay, and later on when we discuss Rav Huna's shita later on in Nafeh, I mean, he can't contradict the Mishnah obviously, but he would argue that the Mishnah is only telling us ones that you actually learn from either directly from the pasuk, like in the case of Bia, or by drasha, like in the case of Kesef, Kichot Tifu Mrs. Efren, not Chuppah, which as we were going to say over there, he learns from Kavah Chaymer. So he would say, in other words, that the Mishnah is not necessarily contradicting him. But later on, the Rabbanan Tzvaroi, when they wrote our piece of Gemara, said that you know, the fact is the halacha is not like him, even though the Gemara itself actually leaves the question open over there, and our Mishnah, by saying Shloisha, is implying that.
Enough.
And so three and not four. Ula Ravuna Drama Chupam Kainam Kaba Chaimim Utimai. So fine, according to Ravuna, who says that Chupa is based on a Kavachimer, what would he say the three in the Mishnah comes to exclude? Fine, he would say I have a reason why the Mishnah didn't include it because I'm not listing things that are meant that are derived from the Kavachimer. But why according to him would the Mishnah be using the word the number three? The answer is the Moti Chalifin. Because he would say the Mishnah is excluding something else. You can't do a Kenyan Sudr and be and Koina wife like that. And why would we think you could? And since, as we said at the very beginning of the Gemara yesterday, we learned the whole concept of Kedusha Kesef, we learn it by Zeir Shava of Kicha, of Ki Yikat Ishisha, and Nafati Kesef outside of Kachmi Meni. We learn it from Avraham buying Ephraim's field. Therefore, we would figure, Masada Mikneh B'Chalifin, Afishinami Mikneh B'Chalifin. So you would think just as a field can be bought with Kinyan Chalifin, so can a woman, so can a wife. Kamash Kolon, and therefore the Mishnah has to tell us that now. Now, Ve'ema Ha'inami, maybe Takazoid, and you know what, if you're living Kicha Kicha Misdeafrin, it's true, how don't you know that? How do you know that Chalifin doesn't work? Tosus, by the way, points out, among other things, Tosus discusses over here, maybe you could argue, does Chalifin even work between a Jew and a Goy? Avram is buying the fuel from Ephraim. Mela buying it with money that we know is a valid Kenyan, whether for a Jew or a guy. How the Chalal, the whole concept of Kenyan Chalifin we learn from Pasuk and Rus, where it was between two Jews. Tosfos says, we see from all Gemara that actually Chalifin would work between a Jew and a guy. And Rabbi Natan says that actually Kenyan Chalifin is, for example, think of when you sell your chametz every year. You go to the Rav, what do? You do a Kenyan Suda with him. You take his gartel or his handkerchief or what have you. He gives it to you, so you're kind of it. You give it back, it could have been yours to begin with, whatever. You give it to him, and along with that, along with giving him the sudder, you're selling him your chametz, basically. So, actually, no, it's a little bit different than that. No, it's chalifin, it's an exchange. He's giving you his garuchel, and in return, you're giving him your chametz, which then he's going to go sell for the guy. That's what it is. Later on, you return him his garuchel, of course, yeah. Yeah. Later on, you give it back to him, sure, but because you're only doing it symbolically. But that's the Kenyan Chalifin works that way, is with one person, the truth is in Bav Metzia, the Gemara actually has a whole machlokas, whether you're supposed to use Caleb Shal Kona or Caleb Shal Machna, but anyway, without getting into that, the point is Chalifin is an exchange. Hamach was part of a hamor, for example, that I have a cow, you have a donkey, and we'll exchange them for each other. Once one person is cutting his thing, does a Kenyan, and whatever one of the valid methods of Kenyan is, the other one is automatically cutting his thing. So in the case of the gartel and the chametz, for example, as soon as you take his gartel and lift it up, thereby making a Kenyan, and it was a Kenyan hagvah, as we'll learn about later in the parish, then at that moment, the rab acquires your chametz. Yeah.
He's the gartel.
No, because afterwards, you're the fact is the Rav needs his garuchel back, so afterwards you can give it to him, fine, there's no problem, you can give it back to him as a gift.
It doesn't cancel
the Kenyan Chalifin, no.
But it's yours, really.
In principle, it's yours, yeah. Anyway, so Tosfos says that actually, yes, Rabbi Natan used to often do that, he would send a goy as his agent to accomplish something and have the other party another year do Kenyan Chalifin with him. Anyway, so the Ema Hochinami, so Taka, how do you know, given that you're doing Kicha Kicha Mistei Efren, how Taka do you know Chalifin doesn't work? The reason is because Chalifin Isner Pachas Meshava Prilta, because Chalifin can take place even with something which is worth less than a Shava Prilta, the Gartel that you use, or any Kaili that you use, does not even have to be worth a Prilta for the Chalifin to be valid. The issue of Pachas Meshava Prilta, Lemishni Anamsha, a woman is not going to be Machna herself with less than a Prilta. The Rashi says the part is that she would be Machna, and it would be a Gnai for her. It would be a shameful thing for her to be machna herself to her husband for less than a prota. Therefore, you can't have the concept of chalifin when it comes to kedushin, even if the keli does have a shava prota. But if you give it to her as chalifin, Rashi says, it doesn't work.
When a prota is a
gnai. But a prota is worth something, at least. I mean, you know what? I mean, you have to think of it in those times. A prota in those days would buy a lot more than, I mean, a prota is what, in modern terms, 10 cents, 20 cents, I don't know, whatever. These days, that buys next to nothing. In those days, a prota could actually buy something. Yeah. Anyway, that's...
What difference is the
In principle, you could. No, you, in a normal case of chalitza, in a case when you, when the rav gives you his gautel from a chalitza chum, it's fine. I mean, you, you need this gautel after all, you, you know. But in a normal case, in many cases, really, it's yours. In many cases, in a typical case of chalitza, and I'm not just part of a chamor, for example, it's not I'm giving you my donkey and you're giving me your cow, and later on you're going to give me back the cow. No, you know, each of us is going to keep our own thing. Yeah. Okay, so anyway, that's how Rashi learns the problem over here, that king and chalifin doesn't work because it's going to be a gnai for the woman. Rashi says, okay, so you'd say it's a gnai for her. So what? If she agrees to it, what's the problem?
Right.
And Fakir, Tosis points out, later on, the Gemara asks a question later on when we start dealing with the Shammai versus the Hillel, that you have a woman who thinks, on the contrary, a woman who thinks very highly of herself and going to be mocking herself for less than a lot of money. What would you say there? So Tosfos learned differently.
And so if you came, let's say, with something that's very valuable, and you did a Kinyan Chalipin, why it shouldn't work?
Okay, so that's the thing. Rashi says, if you're giving it to her as Chalipin, it doesn't matter how valuable it is. Tosfos learns that basically what it is like this. There's two different kinds of Kinyan. There's Kesef and there's Chalipin. Each one is a different kind of Kinyan. We're not figuring that you should be able to do chalifin, and we're answering that chalifin are worth, I mean, we're saying that chalifin can be with less than a shavah prota. What we're answering is, chalifin is a totally different kind of kinyan than kesef. We have a limud to learn kinyan kesef. That limud does not extend to a different kind of kinyan, namely chalifin. And why not? The reason is because chalifin is capable of happening with less than a shavah prota. Meaning, it's not that it depends, not like Rashi's saying that it depends on whether it's denied for her or not. It's just that the definition of kinyan chalifin is a totally different kind of kinyan that does not depend on the value of the object. There are other Rishonim who learn that Rashi might have. The Rosh, for example, says that Rashi might answer that yes, you might have a woman who's willing to be machna herself for less than a prutta. Doesn't matter. But the guy says it's a kolada. A normal person is going to want at least a prutta. Having said that, though, the Reed has a shita that actually, if you give her something and you say that it's kinyan chalifin, but the object itself is actually worth a pruta, unlike what Rashi says, that wouldn't work if you gave it as kinyan chalifin, he holds it would work. So the fact is, the object itself is worth a pruta.
Is it the halacha this way?
No, the halacha is that kinyan chalifin doesn't work for kedushin, period. Anyway, so far what we have is, therefore, so the number Shloisha comes to exclude either Chuppah or Pointer of Huna, or everybody for that matter, comes to exclude Chalifin. Next, Minyana de Seifa Lamotimai, what about the number at the end when it says that the woman is Koina Asatma, that she becomes independent, we get to Remissa Sabal, the two things, we get to Remissa Sabal, Lamoti Chalitza, comes to exclude Chalitza. Why do we have to mention chalitza? Because otherwise you would think tasty with kavachomer from yivama. Because otherwise you would think to make a kavachomer from a yivama. My yivama sheni yotze beget yotze b'chalitza. A yivama cannot be released from her yavam with a get. The drabanan, yes, but she still needs chalitza even then. The daraisa even drabanan, he gives her a get. All that does is it passels her from yivam. She still needs chalitza in order to be mutter. Yeah. So yotze b'chalitza. Nevertheless, she goes out from him with chalitza. Zusha Yotzeb get, a regular woman who can be divorced with a get, ain't a dinshi Yotzeb chalitza. You would think how much more so that she can be divorced, that she can leave her husband with chalitza. From Ashkelon, that's why the Mishnah tells us two things, two and not three. The only get in Mrs. Abal, nothing else. Again, the aim. All of this, well, okay, so, the chalitza is a mitzvah in the Torah. For Yavama. You're talking about that doesn't work for a regular woman. We're going to learn it from a pasuk. But actually, in general, since you bring it up, this whole concept, which of these methods is valid in daraisa and which is not, most Rishonim learn that all the methods we're talking about, Kesef, Shtar, and Bia, are all equally in daraisa, and Gethin, this is the Baal, are all also equally daraisa. The Rambam has a unique shita in it. He writes that Kesef is that kesef is medivrei sofrim. He says it's kiddush kesef is medivrei sofrim. And everybody has a field day with what on earth is the Rambam mean. The fact is, a woman is miskadosh b'kesef. She's just as much an aishas ish for all purposes of daraisa as if it was done b'shtar or b'bia. Rashi actually mentioned in a few places, we've had it in a few places in Chas, we had it in Yevamos, we had it in Ksubas, in a few places where the Gemara deals with the whole issue of Afkinu Rabbanon with Kedushin, that sometimes the Rabbanon feel it necessary to undo and make it as if the Kedushin never existed. In a few places, the Gemara says that would work if he did Kedushin with Kesef. What about if he does Kedushin with Bia? How do you undo Bia? And the answer is you make a Bila, Bila Sinus. So in a bunch of those places, you actually mentioned that Zerubayim explained it to mean that if it's Kedusha Kesef, then it's only Dirabbanan, and therefore the Rabbanan could undo it. If it's Kedusha Bia, then it's Deraita. Rashi himself, in all those places, disagrees with him. He says, how could that be? Kedusha Kesef is equally Deraita as everything else. So what do we do with the explanation of Rashi Zerbeim, and what do we do with the explanation of the Rambam? There's a few different takes that the various Meforshim have on it. One of them is basically it's just a technicality. The Rambam, in particular, the Rambam's terminology is he uses the word Divrei Sofrim for anything that's not explicit in the Pasuk, anything that's learned with one of Yud Gimel Midas. So Bia, it says explicitly in the Pasuk, Ki Yikach Ishi Shul Gala. Shtar, we learn from a Hekish. Okay, but a Hekish is not one of Yud Gimel Midas. A Hekish is stronger than them. From V'yotza V'hoisa. V'yotza V'hoisa. Just like V'yotza is with a Shtar, so V'hoisa, the Kiddushin can also be with a Shtar. Kesef, given that we're only learning it from Gzeir Shava, Kicha Kicha, that's one of the Yud Gimel Midas. The Rambam might term that the Divrei Sofrim, even though, yes, of course it has a force of something Deraita. But he would call it the Divrei Sofrim because it's learned with the Yud Gimel Midas. There's a different explanation than a number of Meforishim have, which is that we find there's a number of dinim in the Torah where the Torah says there's supposed to be a certain din, but it leaves it up to the Chachamim to determine the details. Classic example we learned in Moed Katan was the whole matter of working on Chol HaMoed. The Torah tells us you're not allowed to work the first and last day of each of the major Yom Tovim. The days in between, it doesn't say anything. But Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim is that there's supposed to be some restriction on work then. But the idea is, the Gemara mentions there in Moed Katan, that the Torah didn't nail down what the definitions are. It left it up to the Chachamim to make those determinations. And therefore, the Chachamim could determine, for example, Dabar Avod will make an exception for Einlam HaYochal, or whatever, various things that they'll make an exception for. I'll get back to your question of Chalitza in a second, but the point is, returning to Kesef then, the idea might be then, the Torah is implying there's supposed to be certain ways of Kiddushin. Besides for Bia, which is said explicitly in the Pasuk, and besides for Shah, which we learn from the Hekish, there's supposed to be others. What are those others, which once the Chachamim determine what those are, they will have the same validity as the ones that are explicitly in the Torah, that it left it up to the Chachamim. So they determine Kesef. According to Rav Huna, they also determine Chuppah. Once they determine those, then yes, those have the full status of something Deraita, even though they were actually determined by the Chachamim. So that's what would mean that they would be Divrei Sofrim in that sense. Returning to what you're asking about Chalitza, what the Gemara is saying over here is the din of Chalitza for Yevama is Min HaTorah. We're saying the reason why it doesn't work for a regular wife is, we're going to say in a second, the Gemara is going to say now, because we learn from a Pasuk that only a get, Miss the Baal, frees her from her husband, not Chalitza.
That is what I was asking.
Yeah.
Is that
Midrabanan? No, that's Midaraita, we're saying. Right. That's Midaraita. Yeah. So, V'ema Hochinami, how taka do we know Chalitza does not work for a regular wife, not a Yuvama? Because Amakros Sefer Krisus, the Pasuk says, a document of cutting off, meaning Sefer Kursa, only a document to get, cuts her off from her husband, Vein Dabaha Kursa, nothing else cuts her off. So not Chalitza, then. Yeah. Now, starting with the regular Gemara, the regular part that comes from Ravina and Rav Ashi. The Kesef. The Mishnah told us that the first method of Kedushin is with money, Manola. How do we know that Kesef is a valid method of Kedushin? So Rashi points out that the Gemara is repeating the question. We had it at the very beginning of the Gemara on Beis Amud Aleph, right after the Mishnah. But there the Gemara was just mentioning it just as of Gerora. We were trying to figure out why the Mishnah was using the word Horishan Niknis, and in that context we mentioned the source of Kesef. Now we're getting into the actual meat of it for Lishma, basically, to figure out, standing on its own, how do we know that Kedusha Kesef, independent of the wording of our Mishnah, how do we know that Kedusha Kesef is valid? But how do we know that? The two. And that it works, that it's a valid method of Kedushin. But two, and also, we have another question. Hobbitznan, this that we learn in a Mishnah in Ksubas, Ha'av Zakai, actually it's a Braisa, Ha'av Zakai v'bitei v'kedusha, a father has the right to his wife, to his daughter with Kedushin, the Kesef v'shtar v'biya, whether that Kedushin is done with Kesef or shtar v'biya. So, Kesef would mean that the potential husband gives the kesef to him, and he acquires it, and she becomes miskadosh. Shtar would be the same thing. He's metabol shtar. Bia, Rashi says, it means that he can be moiser ul bia, that he can hand her over to the guy for bia. And again, yeah, like you said, bar kocha, when she's a ktana or a naira. Minolon, so how do we know that? Minolon, the mishni of kesef. Number one, how do we know that kesef is a valid method of kinyan for an isha? And number two, the kesef davuah. Number two, how do we know that the money goes to the father? The answer is Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, the Amar Krav, the Yotzach Chinam Ein Kesef. The pasuk says by an Amar Hevriya, which we'll talk about more later on in the perek. We're going to have all the dinim of every Knani and Amar Hevriya later in our perek. The pasuk says that she goes out free without money. This is talking about an Amar Hevriya when she develops Simone Nairus, when she develops Shtei Nairus, she automatically goes free at that point, no matter how much of the 6 years is left. Now, it could have said v'yatzachinam. Obviously, if she goes out free, there's ein kesef. The word ein kesef, therefore, extra. So we learn from it, ein kesef la'adin zeh, yesh kesef la'adin acher. There's no money that goes to this master, the one to whom she was sold as an amar hevriya. He doesn't get any money because she just goes out free. Implying, but there is kesef that goes to another adin, somebody else who has rights over her. Another case. There's another man, namely her father, who has rights over her until she becomes a begeret. That money does go to, when she leaves his rishus, namely when she's niskadish, then he gets the money. Umani of. Who is this oden acher? Is the father?
Do we know that applies to the regular woman?
Because that's what we're talking about. So, no. First, we're dealing with a ktana and a naira. Later on, we'll deal with how we know that kedusha kesef apply across the board. First things first, though, yeah. Okay, the aim of the detail, fine, but maybe you should say when we say the yotzachinam ain kesef, what are we saying? We're saying ain kesef la'odin zeh, but there is kesef la'odin acher. Why? Maybe look at it from her point of view. Maybe it means ain kesef, she doesn't have to pay any kesef to the other. When it comes to kedushin, the kesef that she receives does not have to go to somebody else, does not have to go to her father, it goes to her. Yes, there is kedusha kesef, but it goes to her. Who says it goes to her father? The Gemara says halchi ashta. How do you think about that? We know the fact is avia makabel kedusha. The fact is we know that her father is able to accept kedusha on her behalf. Dichtiv es biti nasati leisha zeh, as the pasuk says in the case of a moiti shemra, the father comes to Beis Din and he says, "I gave my daughter to this man," which means that he. Well, as a kind of or a naira, actually. I mean, in the context there, the pasuk is talking about a naira, because the case, we learned when we learned about the din of Moshe Shemra and Ksubas, it can't be applying to a ktana. A ktana, anyway, is not chayiv mrs. based in. It has to be talking about a naira, where if it turns out that she was mizana, then yeah, kesef leisavia and all that. So he says, as biti nasati leishazeh, I gave my daughter to this man, as in kedushin. So it's up to him to do. The e shakwa kaspa, what's the logic that she should take the money? What rights does he have? Okay, the Gemara asks, the Ema Hani Milik Tana the Lesla Yad the Kabbal Kedushin. Fine. Still, maybe say that there's a difference in that regard between a Tana and a Naira. Maybe as a Tana, since she doesn't have a Yad, she doesn't have the ability to be Kona anything, the Daraisa, therefore she can't be Kona her Kedushin, therefore her father can do it on her behalf. Have a Naira the Isla Yad the Kabbal Kedushin, but a Naira who already has. Who already has the ability to be kohen of something on her own, taktish e nachshav tishkul kasva. How do you know then that she doesn't have the ability to be mekadesh herself to somebody?
In the case of an
omar evriya, yeah, she's a tana when she's sold, but then and she goes free when she becomes a naira, yeah. But so we would say that a naira who has a yad, she has already the ability to be koyne because she's a gdola for all purposes. So therefore, she should be able to pack the shi'i nafsha. She should be able to mekadesh herself, betishko kaspa, and she should get the money. So Rashi points out, what about the pasuk by Moti Shemra that we just mentioned, even that which we know that's talking about a naira. So Rashi explains. Tosafot says also that you could be talking about the father could be saying that biti nasati leisha zeh. I married her off to him while she was a tana. Now by now she's a naira. Punished. I mean, it would mean that as a tana he has the ability as biti nasati leisha zeh. Maybe as a naira he doesn't anymore. The answer is Amakrua binureha beisavio, because we have another pasuk that in by the dinim of a forest nedarim that binureha, the pasuk finishes off binureha beisavio in her time of nairos, or 6 months of nairos, in her father's house. Meaning, kol shvach na'urim la'aviyah, meaning any benefit that comes during the time of her nairus goes to her father. So therefore we see that when she's a nair also, her kedushin go to her father, and if the money goes to him, then he also, it means that the two things go together. He has the ability to be mekadesh her to somebody, and he has, and he gets the money. Okay. The elaha de'amar of hona amar rav, then what about, if you're going to learn it like that then, if you're going to learn it from benurea be'saviyah, then what about, consider what Rav Huna tells us in the name of Rav. Minayin shemaisa baslav, how do we know that any earnings of a daughter go to her father, maisa deha, which if she spins or does whatever kinds of work that goes to her father. We learned about this in Ksubas as well. Shenam of chayim kereish is bitil alma. As the pasuk says, if a person sells his daughter as an alma, ma alma maisi adel rabba, just like an alma, just like a maid servant, whatever she earns goes to her master. Abbas nami maisi adel avia, the same thing, a daughter of her maisi adel go to her father. What do you need a separate limud for it for? Typically, mi nirea beisavia. Shouldn't Rav Huna be able to learn it out from the same pasuk with nirea beisavia? Ella, however, we have to say that pasuk doesn't work. Rav Huna would say that I can't learn anything from that pasuk because that pasuk is not saying a general thing. Kol shvach ne'urim lavia. It's telling us specifically that as a naira, her father still has the ability to be made for her nedarim. You would think, okay, I mean, up till the previous Gemara was arguing that the words benurah beisavia is extra. Therefore, you could apply it to say kol shvach ne'urim lavia. But on the other hand, you could argue the fact of the matter is that we say that you need it legufe. You need it to teach us that because up until that point, the Torah never actually says that as a naira you can be made for her in the dark. It talks about when she's well, it does actually. Actually, it does come to think of it. What's lashon over there? V'isha kisidra nedel Hashem v'asura v'kisra v'misa v'yabinureha. Okay, there does actually. Kisidro nedul Hashem, but also Easter Bevesa via binureha. So it does actually use the word binureha.
So what do we do?
Okay, I think we talked about in the Dorim. We talked about there was a reason why we needed the words binureha Bevesa via at the end. I think it may have been for the case where she was niskadish as a naira and then was divorced or widowed from the Eirusin and returned to her father's house. I think that might have been what it was. Anyway, whatever it is, but not to say that kol shvach ne'urim lavia, not to say that any monetary earnings or whatever of hers, or in the case of kedushin, any benefits go to the father. So hachanami about first and zarim hodistiv. So the same thing over here. You, why are we arguing that you can learn about kedushin from binurah beisavia? If evidently you can, Rav Huna has to find a different pasuk from Ma'aseh Yedel. And you could argue back, so you'd answer back, okay, so what? So you have a binyan now. The Torah tells us that the father has rights over her, which is a naira as far as hafaras adarim. So by extension, he has rights over her by everything else also. That doesn't work. Without a separate pasuk. You can't. Mamoinim isur alayofinim. You can't learn a matter of mamoin from a matter of isur. The Torah gives him rights over her in matters of isur. Not necessarily does that apply to mamoin. So you could argue, okay, we can learn in another way from the knas, the cases that we learned in Ksubas about an anusa or a mafuta, an onus or mafata, where the onus or the mafata has to pay for father. In the case of the mafata, the Torah says, in the case of the mafata, the Torah doesn't mention the father. In the case of the onus, it does. So let's learn from that. It's the same way as you have to pay the knas, the hundred zuz, the same way as you have to pay it to the father, the same way you should have to pay money of kedushin to the father. A knas is a chidush. By definition, any knas is a unique kind of thing that the Torah says in this one case. Not necessarily. Can you generalize from it to anything else? Fine, you could argue that we can learn it from the case of the other kind of payments, boishas and b'gam. We learned from Ksubas in the case of Ones, that besides paying the hundred zuz for hanas shiva, as we called it, There's also, you have to pay boshet for her embarrassment, for gam, for the fact that now she'd be, so to speak, worth less on the slave market if she were to be sold as a slave. So he has to pay those as well. That those aren't knas. Boshet actually, to a certain extent, is treated. Boshet is treated like knas. For example, based in that doesn't have smicha, can't judge it because it's hard to assess the actual value of it. But basically, it's not a knas. Basically, it's mammon, in principle. So why don't we learn from that? You could argue shiny boshes of gam, w or shayach begavayu. You could argue boshes and gam are also a special case because her father has a certain shayachus to them. What do we mean by that? Rashi says when you get down to it, the father has the ability to cause boshes and gam to her. Namely, the father could marry her off, as we're in the middle of discussing now, the father could marry her off to whoever he wants. Even, for example, Menuvel or Mukashchin, or a person who is repulsive, a person who has Shchin or whatever, he has the ability to, and he would get the money of Kedushin from it. Therefore, he has the ability to cause her Boshes and Pagam. This other guy, the Ma'anis, caused her Boshes and Pagam. Basically, now the father doesn't have the ability to do that same Boshes and Pagam to her. So therefore, the guy is sort of paying him for that, for having taken that away from him. So therefore, you could argue Boshes and Pagam is different than the regular money of Kedushin.
Not because someone else could cause Boshes and Pagam?
Because her father himself is able to cause her Boshes and Pagam by marrying her off to somebody unsuitable.
What's the difference then?
Well, that's the point. In other words, maybe we would say, you know why the father gets the Boshes and Pagam from the Ma'anis? Because he himself would get the Boshes and Pagam. He himself is entitled to cause her Boshes and Pagam by being the Kaddisher to whoever he wants. You can't necessarily prove from that that in a case, for example, of a Naira, where she has the ability to be Makadish herself already, she already has a Yad, that her father should be the one to get the money. Where the Chora, he doesn't have the Meva when she was a Kana, okay, but when she's a Naira, which is what we're after over here.
He marries herself to the Chora, the Kana or a Naira, to somebody that's simple or whatever. How are they going to collect the boshes?
He's not actually collecting boshes and pagam, but he has the ability to make it happen, basically. Boshes and pagam is something that happens to her. She gets embarrassed. She gets disfigured, whatever. But it's something that either the father causes it by causing her to marry somebody she doesn't, or the ma'anis causes it by raping her. That's the point, in other words. So the other guy causing it, and sort of he owes the father for the fact that, you know, I could have, like this Rashi says, like this, if she hadn't been nanas, you'd find more people who are willing to marry her. Like this, when she's already nanas, then there's less takers, basically. So therefore, l'chora, you can't learn from that. Tosfos says, aren't you sort of begging the question over here? We're still in the middle of trying to figure out how. The Gemara in Ksubas itself explains how Taka do we know the Boshes and Gam comes to the father is because of the fact that he's able to be Makadisher to somebody. He's able to be Makadisher to whoever he wants, and therefore he's entitled to the Boshes. How is our Gemara trying to do it the other way around? That we know that Boshes and Gam goes to him, and we're trying to ask whether that applies to Kedushin as well. Tosfos also asks the issue anyway that if he marries her off as a Naira, for example, she'll still be married to this guy when she's a burgeress, when she's a begeress, 6 months after Nairus. She'll still have Boshes of the Gam at that point, and yet you don't say that he has the ability to be Makadisher and to get the case of Kedushin when she's a begeress by the logic that you're saying over here. Why not? So Tosfos says basically that what the Gemara is saying over here is that, first of all, you could argue the Kavachomer that we mentioned before, that her father has the ability to be Makadisher, and that he has, and therefore he should get the money. That applies when she's a Katana. How do we know once she's a Naira? That if she's Makadish herself on her own, that she doesn't get the money of Kedushin. Yes, if her father is Makadisher, then yeah, you would assume he gets the money. The Chiddush is, what the Gemara is discussing over here, how do we know, even when she's a Naira and she has the ability to do things on her own, that nevertheless the father also has the ability to do it and to get the money? So, and then again, the Boshes and Pagam, the Boshes and Pagam works the same way, that, She has the ability as a Naira to be Makadish herself. She has the ability to cause herself Boshas and Pagam. Her father, how do we know that her father also has that ability and that therefore he has the ability to Makadish her in the first place? That's what we're discussing.
When she has the ability to cause herself Pagam, who does the money go to?
That's what we're saying. If she does it on her own, then fine. We would say that it sounds like logically it should go to her. As opposed to, if her father does it, it's obvious that it goes to him. How do we know that even as a Naira, if she does it on her own, that it goes to her father? According to Tosfos, that's the point of the question. Nobody's paying Boshas and Pagam, that's the point. But we're saying that the Ma'anis, who prevented that, who to a certain extent prevented that Boshas and Pagam from ever being able to take place, he has to now pay for that. He caused it, and he prevented it from happening via somebody else, basically.
He can't marry also a normal person.
Because now there's going to be less takers for her once she was nana. Yeah.
We cannot use that as a basis.
That's what we're saying. That's what the Gemara is saying. You can't learn from Boshas and Pagam, where her father is shyest to them, meaning, again, according to Rashi, that he has the ability anyway to be Makadosh. And according to Tosfos, that he's shyest to it in the sense that he continues also to be affected by that Boshas and Pagam. You can't prove from that for a regular case of Mammon and in a case of Kedushin that he should have the ability to get it. So we'll continue tomorrow with the discussion of how exactly we learn out this concept.